Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I can start the game off. Like, he's not lying. I remember the second. Okay, we finally got the ball back after, you know, the Sutton Smith touchdown run. We didn't get the ball for a minute. We got the ball. And what people not throwing up. They gave the ball to a running back I never heard on the team. His first carry of the year. And we didn't in that series, I think we went forward on fourth down and missed.
Kyaire Spain is like, who you're talking about.
Spain. What are we doing? Yep. And like this is happening, like DeRozan had 200 yards one game. The next game you'll come and they'll get a third screen running back, the first carry or whatnot. Like we got two of the best running backs in the nation. You know what Mike Norvell be doing with these two kids. The coordinators blew this game, offensive, defensive. We were rushing three and dropping eight. One time we rushed three, and the nose guard went back and pass coverage.
That's what I'm talking about. That was a soft game plan. I mentioned that. I didn't understand it. Did they not respect the backup? Was it a deal where, okay, we can play him soft? Either way, wrong plan. So adjust.
Right. Yep. And another thing, I was with the same thing. I was like, I get it. I love the quarterback. He's a better thrower than all these dudes. But the mistake was happening. You know, he clipped on he came back and he almost fell and he made that pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the commentator said it. Run the ball, run the ball. And what he do? The coordinator said, okay, let's keep throwing. Let's don't get DeRozan the ball. He threw a pick. Like you look at the play. DeRozan got to the 1 yard line. Like. That was a play they shouldn't have ran, but they found ran the ball. Then they get, I'm saying the same thing, put Aiden, Maiden in. Like, oh, they was terrible by the coordinator. Like, they was so terrible.
Yeah, no, it was
and
not.
And I hate it for the fan base because they took the momentum, man. This is the worst, man, probably the worst loss. If we lose, sir, and get out of it, it'd be the worst loss for our entire history.
Yeah, Melvin, appreciate the call.
Appreciate Mel.
Yeah, I would, I mean, has Memphis ever lost as a 23.5-point favorite? I would venture to say no, because they probably haven't been a 23.5-point favorite very often in their existence. So,
largest upset of a ranked team in the American.
Oh, didn't Fuente lose to UT Martin? And
if you're saying any Memphis team not ranked,
then
some dog, some division.
Yeah, Memphis lost to UT Martin in Fuente's first game. I don't know what the point spread would have been. If there even would have been one back then. But yeah, I mean, I would assume, like, in the, you know, certainly in the modern era, it's the worst, like, by number loss. And it's also got, in terms of, like, what it does, like, what it changes, it's a terrible loss. There's just no good things about it. Ryan Silverfield said today he might play three quarterbacks. Yeah. According to Jonah Dillon said, there are scenarios where we go in playing two quarterbacks, maybe playing three.
Oh, okay. That's what, okay. I see. He's basically, trust me, I got this.
So he said, it's been a long time since I've done it, but it gives you something to write about, so I might as well.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're at.
I told y'all.
Good. I think we should play four quarterbacks. Let's play four, man. Kay Cunningham's on the team. Where he at?
He about to go to war. Some of you media members have been criticizing him. Now, he's already X'd some people out.
Yeah.
But some more y'all going to get it. You keep asking these questions about accountability.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some. And I would say, you know.
Some real account. Exactly. Some real accountability.
Yeah. Like to the people, you know, I understand the frustration if you don't want to be a season ticket holder anymore because you don't agree with the direction that the program is going. Certainly, you're allowed to vote with your feet. I also appreciate the people that are still going to remain season ticket holders, even as they disagree, you know, with the future of the and the direction of the program. You know, that's your right, you know. So if you want to change, you obviously would be one who cancels their season tickets because that's what Memphis responds to, right, ultimately. Now, they're not going to make a change. You know, obviously we know if he wins nine games, which he is an overwhelming favorite to do, he gets an automatic extension and a $100,000 raise.
So we get to keep buying out 5 years.
Yeah.
If you try that.
That's right.
After a 9-win season.
Correct.
You'd have 5 years to buy out at 60%.
That's right. Mm. So, I mean, because they're going to get to 9 wins. There's just no doubt about it. Even though the backup quarterback, they're going to get to 9 wins. Because they play Rice.
Right.
That's 7.
East Carolina's on there.
Well, no, I can't say they're going to get to 9 wins.
Because after that, East Carolina and then all the tough
they
ones.
They only got, I mean, UAB yeah. was a gimme and they blew it.
Mm-hmm.
They could finish 7-5. They probably will not. I would say they're favored right now to I mean, are they going to beat South Florida? No. Are they going to beat Tulane? No. Could they beat Navy? Maybe.
Those games are at home.
Yeah. But I don't think they're winning. I don't think they're going to finish with a winning record against those three teams. I think they're going to go 1-2 at current. Like Brandon Lewis is out, like he's day to day, but we know Silverfield hides the ball on injuries. So
South Florida 3.5-point favorite.
For all we know, Brandon Lewis could have, you know, his foot hanging off the bone. All right, we don't know with Silverfield.
Goalish, we're gonna play 8 quarterbacks. You don't know what's coming. He's like UAB got us.
Right.
We're gonna get you.
He is gonna absolutely keep that one under until you're not gonna know who's starting until they're like that person comes under center.
Exactly.
You know. And then it's going to be Sam Kraft. It's going to be old Sam.
We might play Sutton at quarterback. Y'all say you need more touches.
There you go. I mean, 5?
I'm getting kind of defiant. And, no, this is all just sort of the misdirection and gamesmanship for South Florida, isn't it? Ryan knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's very smart.
I think Memphis has no chance to beat South Florida if it's not Brandon Lewis. I think their chances of beating South Florida with Brandon Lewis are low. But I think they're essentially non-existent without Brandon Lewis. That would be my guess. Now that would be the most Silverfield thing ever. You lose to UAB, and then you come back against South Florida, and you win. But the vibes are low right now. The vibes are really low right now, fam. South Florida, beating South Florida would restore some of them.
Absolutely would.
But you still have more work to do because you lost UAB. So just a setback, man. Just a diabolical setback this weekend. For Memphis football, no more top 25, no more game day,
top 20.
No more stop rate you love so much.
We were up there with the big boys.
And not anymore, are you?
Just trash that game plan.
Man.
Never Burn again.
Burn it down! Lane Kiffin to Florida. Get into that. Stick around. J&J, 93.9 FM, ESPN. Blacktop Moving is changing, moving to the city of Memphis. Doesn't matter where you're going, whether you're moving in town, whether you're moving across the country, let them handle the move for you. They're going to show up on time. They're going to stay on budget. You are going to love working with Blacktop Moving. I've moved twice. I'm not sure a move is in my future, but if it ever is again, it'll be one of the first calls I make. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Blacktop Moving. They're changing, moving to the city of Memphis. Call today. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it. We haven't even mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies in that entire first hour. And I wish the news was better on the Grizzlies. But they did win. They didn't win a game in a preseason.
Yep. Brad said it was a big one.
He did.
All in, baby.
He said Brad's premise was that if the Grizzlies win a preseason game, it will do wonders for the vibes.
That was before I found out the news. So that is, there's my caveat.
That is fair. That is fair.
Have revised that after a piss poor news cycle here for the Grizz that you're about to describe.
Yeah, they won the game, but they lost the war.
There you go.
There is no doubt about that. The war against I don't know who they're fighting. I don't know who they're fighting themselves, it seems like.
Although Harrington tells me the rest of the league is just as banged up as we are, so.
Yeah, I mean, we could have some bias because we are, you know, this is the one team that we focus on day-to-day in the league. But despite beating the Heat 141-125, there was bad news. Ty Jerome has a calf injury. We still have not heard on his timeline, which I don't know about you guys, makes me feel ominous. I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything. But it did not look good. He played 4 minutes, did not return in this game for the Memphis Grizzlies. And then we get the news that Scottie Pippen has a toe thing. I can't remember exactly what they called it, but a toe thing. And he will be gone for 4 months, 3 to 4 months. I think reevaluated in 12 weeks was the official announcement.
Sesame wood dectomy.
Yeah, you got all that?
Sesame seed dectomy.
Sesame seed destomy.
Yeah.
Again, we learn new terms with the Grizzlies and their medical evaluations.
I feel like we basically got medical degrees at this point by covering the Grizzlies. Like, we know all the
sesamoidectomy.
You know, things. Every injury.
I don't have any problems with that one.
All the extremities, you know what I mean?
Is it a big old turf toe?
It seems like a turf toe, yeah.
Us in the toes, bro.
Yeah, man.
Us in the toes.
That's why players have bad toes.
Tough.
So Scottie Pippen was going to be very important for the Memphis Grizzlies this year. He felt like he was going to be one of the better. I mean, they only have so many real NBA players that are proven in this league, and he was one of them.
Well, and only so many that play defense.
Yep.
Right, and Scottie was one of those guys that, now, again, smaller guy, but in terms of the dog-level mentality that Kleiman had talked about trying to get more of in here, that's why you got Scottie Pippen, because of the energy he brings defensively. Yes, on ball, you know, the turnovers were one thing, and it's probably you got Ty Jerome in here now. You feel like you've got maybe an upgrade on the ball. But remember, Scottie was key for them defensively. On a team that seems to have lost its defensive identity, you were looking to him to bring some of that energy, especially in that backcourt, John, where Ty Jerome, hey, he can be on ball,
yeah,
but he ain't some great defender.
No, he's not.
And so that's why you loved having Scottie in that guard rotation, was because, particularly because of the defense that he brings. We know, scoring standpoint, end of the year, we loved it. But defensively, too, very useful for you, and could have been more useful on this team.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems to lack guys that won't do that.
So really bad news for the Grizzlies. Again, we do not have a diagnosis on Ty Jerome. You lose him, and now, I mean, I guess it's going to be
Javon Small would be the point guard,
right,
on opening night. He's likely going to be the backup to Ty Jerome if he can go, right? If no, Ja Morant. That's how you roll.
Yeah, it just feels like every week the news has gotten worse about the Grizzlies. I mean, I Cam Spencer, does he play in a heightened role? You
don't
know?
Have to. Especially if you have no Ty Jerome.
Yeah. It's just hard. It's just very hard to be excited about this team right now. I don't know if they can survive until they get a full team. If they ever even get one in terms of this year, in terms of being whole.
Well, to just be honest, I think anything near or around 500 by the time Zach Edey got back, you'd have to be happy with.
I think it'd be a miracle.
Right. You'd consider that a positive outcome at this point. And so that's going to be the challenge. Because while early on, I mean, you start with a 3-game homestand, it looks like there's some opportunity to start out well. It gets tough very quickly in those first 20. And so we could talk about, it's not just Edey. Brandon Clark, now at least a defensive presence on the perimeter, and Scottie Pippen. And so that's it. That gets harder because this is a shot to your rotation. Scottie Pippen was certainly a part of that. And, it might not be, to your point now, John, just trying to tread water and be 500. It might be a deal where you're just trying to survive it.
Yeah.
And does, if it goes, 20 games is 20 games.
Right.
But if you're still in survival mode 30 games in, you know, or you're not winning 30 games in, how much does it shift the course of, goals this season, with everything that you've got on the line in terms of the future? All those things could come into question. This is, yes, less than ideal, and it just seems like the news continues to get worse, as John said.
Yeah, I mean.
With the injuries.
I mean, that's why, I just feel like, I haven't checked, but how does this team make the playoffs? Like, because I know that, the idea here has been what Ja and Jaren healthy, but they're not healthy right now. I mean, we don't know. We think Ja will play opening night, but there is some skepticism about that. And B, it's what else do they have around them? They have nothing around them. They have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who will help. They have a backup five. a backup five. They have a bunch of young, unproven rookies and second-year and third-year players behind them on the bench. And then they have Santi Aldama. And that's it. That is it. That's not enough. I mean, you know, hopefully Jerome is healthy, because I feel like, honestly, if we're, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of evaluation, again, I don't know that. He might be fine. It didn't look good, though. And Cavs ain't nothing to play with, man.
No, they're not.
It's just like a hamstring. You know, it's you have to manage that and be very careful about it. But I'm low. I mean, I think that it's kind of too much to overcome.
Well, it'd be nice to be lifted with an update on John Morant, but the issue is he's week to week. And it does. I mean, last week I think I felt good about having John Morant possibly and Jaren Jackson, if not for the season opener, very soon after, and maybe that's still the case. But we haven't had the update yet. Even though he says it feels good, he's fine, don't worry.
Yep.
We haven't gotten the update yet. And I think that at this point, John, it's the only thing that's going to lift you any more than where you're already at. If you knew that you had John Morant at least on Wednesday, because again, if Ty Jerome, and you're talking, I know Javon Small's had a good preseason, but come on here.
No, he's a second round pick.
What are you talking about? And you go in a season where he's your starter, even if it's just against New Orleans, you got Cam Spencer backing him up. Boy, what are you implementing then? If you're Isolo, what are you winning? I mean, at that point, yeah, it's a desperate situation. But again, even if it's not Wednesday, surely you have Ja back. I mean, the guy's saying his ankle's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have him back relatively quickly. But I think I was more hopeful that he would be back by Wednesday last week.
Right.
I'm just less hopeful because we haven't had the update. Maybe it comes today.
It just feels like it's a star-crossed season. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, already doomed. That's how it feels to me. Like, because by the time you're praying, you're hoping, you're fighting with everything you have. And by the way, folks, Ja is going to miss games. Ja is going to miss games. Like, you're not getting 40 games of Ja Morant going into February. Like, you're just not. You're not getting 40 games of Jaren. Like, that. Like, everybody in the NBA misses games. So this is what you're already starting from a disadvantage, because you already have missed games baked in. Missed games from Edie, missed games from Clark, missed games from Scotty, missed games likely from Jerome. We know Ja's going to miss games, and we know Jaren's going to miss games. You've left yourself literally no room for error in an 82-game season already. And that's somebody's fault. I mean, it's like...
No, what I'm saying, keep in mind, you're 2 years removed from what was supposed to be a gap year.
Right.
Remember last year was going to be the bounce back?
Yep.
You were bounced back, 2 seed.
That's
and
right.
And then it all came apart.
That's so, right.
But just think about it. That's a season and a half.
Yes.
Of some really bad basketball.
That's exactly right.
And frankly, you might get put in a position where you're doing it again in hopes of... This is where you got to hope your fans are bought in.
Yeah.
But in hopes of getting to a better future that includes 2 lottery picks. I mean, I'm just saying, with the way the injuries are lining up, with this team's seemingly over-dependence on Zach Edey getting back and sort of saving things in terms of from a, you know, a rebounding standpoint stuff, it could go off the rails. This is not expecting it to or hoping that it will, but at 39.5 wins with this many injury issues, 39.5 wins being the season win total projection, with this many injury issues,
it was like an under.
Yeah, be it's nice like to go be going in a little bit more feeling firm about the rotation. I don't feel good about any of it.
Yeah, because like you didn't even get like
it's too banged
good,
up.
You didn't even get
point.
A good preseason from Cedric Howard. Like, where you could at least say, well, he's looked great, he looks ready. He's not. He's not supposed to be. No. He wasn't supposed to be ready for this. But he didn't really give you any indication that he could handle it if thrown in there either. Like, I just thought his preseason was very average. Like, I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't think he looks like a guy that's ready to contribute at a major level in the NBA right now. They're going to need him to be somebody like that, basically, because of the personnel situation. I don't know. The worst thing in the world, wouldn't be if it's just a lost season and it's nothing but a Cedric Howard development year. I know nobody wants to talk about that, but like that, it feels more likely to me that the Grizzlies end up tanking and losing a bunch of games than it does the Grizzlies go into the playoffs as the top 4 seed.
We've discussed it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing where
Absolutely.
Maybe a quick bounce back is happening, but you're going to have to lock in and change your expectations of what
this season
can be.
Oh, yeah.
And start shifting.
I already have.
That perspective.
I'm already there.
You know, those goals.
Because you've already lost too many games. I don't expect Ty Jerome to be like fully healthy for the start of the season. So that's just another
guy you're not going to have that you're dependent on. So I just think it's too much reworking, and the guys you brought in to do the reworking aren't available. So
by the way, there's a new system.
There's a new system.
With new guys in it.
Yes.
And you want to play one of the fastest paces in the league, but yet you had a turnover issue last year. We have no idea what it's going to look like this year with basically a new rotation of many of these guys. So,
yeah.
So I mean, you're trying to do all that on the fly. You didn't have much of a preseason to get any look at it, any run with it.
Right.
So you're behind the eight ball to start. There's no question about it.
It was a funny little game, though, because basically it was a tie game. I think the Heat were up one going into the fourth quarter.
We do need to give them some credit for winning that one, don't we?
Both teams put all their pups in. They both quit. They didn't quit, but they're like, all right, listen, may the best group of young pups win. Mm-hmm. Miami put out theirs. Grizzlies put out theirs.
Yeah, we got a little rivalry with them from Summer League and stuff. Losing, was it Pella that year or whatever?
Pella Larson, yeah. And then Kalel Ware, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And advantage Grizzlies. If it comes down.
Jalen and Javon.
If it comes down to the bottom of the barrel rotation players with the Grizzlies, folks, you might win the championship.
Let's go.
You might win the championship. But see, that's not exactly a great thing.
Well, Jeff relates it to I just heard him discussing it. You know, if attendance, those issues, if those things are affected adversely and specifically significantly, how does that play with the Grizzlies in terms of the lease negotiations? Would they then try to use that as, let's hold off here or anything else? I would just say, again, on the Grizzly side of things, product. What do you expect? Remember, it's been 1.5 seasons of this.
Yep.
You know, last year, again, we thought bounce back. It crumbled after the trade deadline.
Yep.
And so you've more had this.
No question.
Than you've had real buy-in and belief.
Yeah.
And you've switched coaches through it. So that's what I'm saying.
You got a new coach. Your stars are rarely available.
At the very least, you'd like to have John and Jaren out there so you can have that buy-in so folks can get ready. Okay, I'm ready to buckle my seatbelt.
Yeah.
It could get bumpy, but there's a better future ahead. I don't know how much of that, that sort of sentiment is out there right now.
Look, I
hard to have it.
You know, again, as our friend Chris Harrington says, they're going to roll the ball out there on Wednesday.
And it'll be interesting because Jaren and Ja, he wasn't suggesting they'll start, but his point was the season will be fine.
It will begin on time
because it will begin, and they will play.
And I won't go too hard on the Grizzlies because in terms of the sentiment that Jeff is referring to, they have not said anything about that publicly, right? Like they have not come out and through a reporter, through anything else, blame the fans. Like, I think that's all stuff that's kind of being whispered around behind the scenes, but it hasn't made it to the mainstream. So I will refrain from going,
I think that's wise.
Because it's just like, it's not really fair. Like, people can have conversations all they want. Like, I'm sure, they have valid frustrations. I think some are more valid than others. But I do agree with the fundamental point. Ultimately, it is a product business. It is a product-based business that you're running. And there is just because you are an NBA team, it is not you do not have a birthright to people going to your games. You just don't. Just because you're the NBA, you don't think we can find anything else better to do on a Tuesday night when it's 35 degrees and watch a team that's going to win 16 games? I mean, I would rather, do literally anything else. I would rather, post up with the National Guard.
No, to your point, unfortunately, this is not Chicago for you, and now they're not just going to fill it up no matter what.
They're just not. Why would anybody expect a packed house for a tank-ass team? Why would anybody expect that? Why would anybody expect a sold-out crowd in a game four when you've lost games by 100 points? It's just stupid. Mm-hmm. And I was there. I went to game four against the Thunder. Because I'm born and bred Memphis, and when I die, I'll be Memphis dead, or whatever they say. But do I judge literally anybody for on a Saturday afternoon deciding, hey, this team's about to get swept. I gotta do some stuff around the house. I'll turn it on. Like, no, I don't blame anybody for that. It ain't like that was a 7-game series that was back and forth, tit for tat, man. Anything could happen. Grizz got their ish pushed in.
Oh, Ja told you, and they had it figured out.
And Ja was hurt. Why would anybody go to that game? They started Scottie Pippen and Santi Aldama. I mean, it was a mess. It was a mess, man. I think people need to be held accountable on some things. But Come on, we got to give Memphis a break on that.
I just think that you were probably destined for something that looks along the lines of what it could look like when you decided to move off of Desmond Bane. You could have continued to roll down that track.
Which we said they did not need. They needed to do something.
No, we said you had to do something. Yeah. And in the something, you could have had this, John, this step back. And frankly, it is in many ways. We've called it a reset. That's kind of what it is. You don't even know if you've got the right rotation around Ja and Jaren. Frankly, you couldn't see him in the preseason. That's what this is going to be about. If you have to shift gears and go to that mode you keep saying, nobody wants to say the word, to tank, it doesn't have to mean you become the Sacramento Kings and all of a sudden you're just lost and nobody's going
to game. There's a strategery to it.
There is. You've got the Phoenix pick. You've got your pick. Now, here's the deal. How about Zach Kleiman at the top of drafts?
Yep.
What's that been like? You know, a lot of what his strengths have, right, finding the value in the second rounds or whatever else. Or if it's a deal of trading the picks to move up. Sane talked about it on Friday. We just said if it had to go down this road, there could be a silver lining. Maybe you have two lottery picks. Well, Zach Kleiman in trades hadn't been great. And so that's where, again, he's going to get the opportunity again, clearly, from Robert Pera to try to rebuild this thing. But you should have always had this cut out as a possibility that it could go down that track. But you have to also leave open the possibility that there could be a silver lining. Maybe the plan, you know, this year is that step back year where you're not expecting playoffs. If it happens, great. But you ain't winning any championships, and in many ways, you're really kind of just doing, hey, what do we need around Ja and Jaren? That's what this season's become, you know, going to become about. If you're not just off and running, very likely, I would say that's the likelihood. It's going to be what can we put around them, and losing. Right. Might help you put better pieces around them next year.
That's right. And again, like, they haven't even tipped off yet. So I'm not saying that this has to be that type of season. All I'm saying is if it becomes apparent, which it will, they will either be a team that's competing to make the playoffs or they will not be. Don't be afraid to push the button. And also don't blame the city. Like, don't blame the city when you're not getting good crowds.
That's what I'd tell them.
Yeah. And again, they haven't done that publicly, so they haven't. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not a city issue. It's a response to what's being, you know, nobody, you know, I guess you can point to like an exception here or there, you know, of a place that tanked and had crowds, but it's just not the norm in my view. If that's indeed the way it goes, it may not go that way. I hope it doesn't go that way because it is not fun. It is not fun. But. Like it is the easiest to sell tank in the history of the world, if that's the way it goes, because it's like this doesn't have to be, you know. Again, it's a reset as opposed to a tank. Really, it's like we get to maximize these assets, much like the Warriors did when they drafted Wiseman. Nobody thought Wiseman wouldn't be good. They thought he'd be great. They thought he'd be a missing piece. They acquired a guy they thought could be a missing piece.
That all sounds good, and we can say it, and it's something that could possibly happen. But you have to keep Ja bought in on that. Remember?
Yes. No, you do.
He's going into a year that he expected to be a takeoff year. This is a deadline on the October 20 deadline, sure. But this is a year he expected to be a takeoff year, and he looks around, and if they're not a playoff team, do you still have him bought in in terms of the future? So that's something that has to also be considered.
Yeah.
If you decide to do what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is Ja on board?
Right. And that's going to be, you know, part of that discussion as well. Listen, I hope Ty Jerome can play. I hope Ja can play. I hope, you know, with the rest of what they have, everybody's going to be available. I also know what the likelihood is. We have been through this enough to know in the NBA, guys miss. Somebody's going to miss every game. Like, someone will not be out there. Like, that's just the way it goes. So, I think when you already are down, the guys you're down, it's going to make for a much tougher road to hoe. So, anyway, Grizz season kicks off. Preseason is over. Finally, mercifully, Grizz going out with a dub. Everything has changed. I think that's fair to say. Everything has changed. They go out on a win. Momentum. Uncle Mo is in the house. Get Uncle Mo a Colt 45. You know what I'm saying?
Don't underestimate us, New Orleans.
Oh, no. Don't underestimate us. Don't underestimate Javon Small. We will UAB that ass.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
New
little
energy.
Little Mort.
Javon looking like a little jaw.
With
that hair?
So the Pelicans.
You can almost tell yourself out of the corner.
So the Pelicans are coming in here with Queen, Misi, New Zion. Trey Murphy, I'm scared.
They're going to feast inside, and they're going to be good defensively, I would think.
Zion's going to have 45. Who's stopping Zion?
It's okay. We're going to tell ourselves at some point. Losses are fine.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm already there.
Stop.
I'm already there.
You're not telling Memphis on this day to do that. stop.
I'm already there.
We've laid it out pretty good, though, I think.
Kicks off on Wednesday. Hopefully the players who haven't been ruled out for 12 weeks can play.
Don't hit on your fans if you decide to tank.
That's right. That's my message.
That's our message.
That's my message.
Brad, congratulations. Your Mississippi State Bulldogs did last week what they said we could do, what they could do, which was get Napier fired. Now, they didn't win. That's a funny thing. Napier won. Florida won 23-21. It was a mess.
What a mess. Both teams, what a
mess. Tons of mistakes, and really by default, somebody had to win. Isn't that what you're saying? That's what Brad's saying.
Get that mess out of here.
Still, Mississippi State got Billy Napier fired. It's done. It's over. Florida owes Napier. Scott Strickland made the decision after the win. They owe Napier roughly $21 million. Half of that buyout's due within 30 days. We saw this one coming. It had been sort of forecast for a while. Last year, Napier, and I'll say it, his five-star saved him. You know, maybe last year at one point we thought this was going to happen, and Florida down the stretch recovers, and he manages to save the job. But this year, it's become too much of a joke, and Florida's too proud a program to do that. Now, whether it's the same level of job, and once was, is a whole nother conversation. I'd say it's come down a peg. And can you get to that point? Can you get a Lane Kiffin? You know,
yeah.
Are you still a higher level of job? Do folks view you that way in terms of that Florida? Or can Lane Kiffin get everything he wants right there at Ole Miss, just like Cignetti got everything he wanted right there at Indiana? Doesn't need to go to Penn State. So I have that question for Florida going forward. There's not much to say on Napier. Like we said, we figured at some point it was going to go this way. But it does. What are we at? We're at 10, 11 openings now in college football. It's going to be a pretty big carousel because it's going to open up jobs obviously elsewhere as folks move up. And so, yeah, you know, at one point we thought Ryan Silverfield might be on this carousel at one point. Who knows? We've always said with Florida, you know, Lane Kiffin, maybe goalish based on what he's done in Florida, you know, only losing to Miami. He went to the Swamp and won. A guy who runs a fast-paced offense, you know, comes from Heupel in Tennessee, has been with him there and at UCF. Is that something that you could sell down there? Florida's going to have some options. Interested to see which way they go. But I do not think it's the same sort of level of job that it once was when there were, you know, Urban Meyers and Spurriers, right?
Yep.
You don't have to be at a Florida to win the SEC anymore,
mm-hmm.
You know, or look at it that way as one of the best jobs. It feels like, you know, you can do that from a lot of spots in the SEC now. And I think that just as it relates to Lane, I don't know. Maybe you like Florida. Maybe you like the beach. You know, maybe you like it down there. But I don't see any reason for Lane to go. When I'm sure Ole Miss is going to give him a big old raise. Who would you go after if no Lane?
Well, let's talk about that, right?
I've discussed this.
Because I've been going back and forth with Florida fans all day. Because I tweeted about it this morning. And I wanted to tweet about it last night, but it was too late. I was like, let me get my engagement tomorrow morning. If this was pre-NIL, I would say, obviously, no-brainer. You go to Florida. Because all the things that used to matter, mattering. Prestige, recruiting base, money, all that stuff, right? Facilities. Now, we're talking pre-NIL now. We're not talking about 2025 now. Ole Miss and Florida, there's no difference in 2025.
Doesn't feel like it.
There's just no difference.
With you.
There is no, like, Florida has no more access than Ole Miss has to the playoff. Ole Miss has been closer to Florida to the playoff in the last, you know, since the, founding of the playoff in the new format. Lane Kiffin would be a fool to leave Ole Miss for Florida. He would be a fool. Now, if he has, like, some sentimental reason where he wants to go, like, you know, Cal had to leave for Kentucky. He's like, I got to go do it. But I would say Memphis and Kentucky where it was a clear distinction. Like, Kentucky was a blue blood, and Memphis was a renegade, you know, an outsider, a have-not, if you will, even though we think Memphis is a have, just like you put those two programs together, right? So that made sense. It makes no logical sense for Lane to leave Ole Miss for Florida when there's, like, literally the only thing that matters in 2025 is, do you have enough NIL? Mm-hmm. We are living in a world, like you said, where Kurt Cignetti has Indiana football number 3 in the country. He didn't even wait to talk to Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
He had no interest in it. In this, it's what's the difference, right? Indiana-Penn State. If we were in that world, he would have waited until the end of the season, talked with Penn State because of the prestige, because of the access, because all. But he said, no. I got boosters that believe in me. I got an AD that believes in me. We are all in on this thing.
Yep.
They're going to pay me $11 million a year to do it, and I'm going to stay here.
Just like Lane is at Ole Miss, I'm going to be him.
That's exactly right.
I'm setting the bar now.
That's exactly right.
I'm the history.
Now, Lane's a little younger than Cignetti, and maybe he is more out for that challenge, but I would ask Florida football fans, would you accept the results that Lane has right now at Ole Miss? Like, would you accept those results?
They tell you.
I don't want to hear that, oh, he'll have more. He has had a top five portal class every year the last 4 years, including number one in 2024. Would you accept what Lane has done, which is no playoff appearances, no SEC championships? Would you accept that? I don't think they would accept that. I think they would expect more, and I think that's the damn problem. Oh. That's the reason why Lane Kiffin only needs to talk to Florida for one thing, right. A raise. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Same thing Cignetti did.
Get your raise.
Get your raise.
Get your NIL up and keep doing what you're doing at Ole Miss, bro. Like, you're rolling. You're rolling. I know Jimmy Sexton is not going to like this segment, but there is just no reason for anybody that has a Power Four job that's a head coach where you have a foundation of a president, a chancellor, whatever, that believe in you, that will give you what you want, and they will. I think Ole Miss and Indiana, I think it's damn near identical.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Jimmy Sexton's going to get him money with a raise at Ole Miss anyway. He understands this as much as you do, as much as you're laying out, I would think, that it's different now in terms of that Florida job.
He doesn't, I mean.
It's not a deal where I got to promote him up to.
That's right.
For some reason he's got a special place in his heart.
Exactly.
Once a coach he believes in at Florida, there's no.
Exactly.
He understands this just like the way you've laid it out.
Yes. Like.
And you're going to get your raise out of Ole Miss. You'll use it as leverage.
That's exactly right. Like.
So that's good.
Florida, with all those, and this is another thing to me that works against Florida. They have all those things we talk about. They have recruiting grounds. They have money. They have fans. They have blah, blah, blah. And they have run through four straight coaches, like X-Lax through your fat-ass mama, and like it's nothing. Mm. Why do – and by the way, Dan Mullen's a good football coach. Dan Mullen's doing it again at UNLV. So what's the problem? At some point, there has to be internal program accountability. Like, maybe we aren't who we think we are. We've had two coaches in Spurrier and Urban that were great. And that's it. Ron Zook sucked. Will Muschamp sucked. Jim McElwain sucked. Billy Napier sucked. Dan Mullen wasn't good enough. So at what point do we say Florida's opinion of itself is not really reflective of what it actually is?
Yeah.
Because either you can't hire a good – either you have no clue how to hire a football coach – because you've missed four straight times now, or your program isn't what you think it is. And honestly, either one of those is enough of a problem for me if I'm Lane. Dude, I'm happy. I mean, I just went toe-to-toe with Georgia on the road with a dude I found at Ferris State. I have a top five recruiting class in the portal every single year. I have what I need, and I'll get more. Mm-hmm. And I'll stay my happy ass. People are like, well, you have to live in Mississippi. What do you think it looks like when Lane Kiffin wakes up and rolls out of bed? Like, what kind of part of Mississippi do you think he's living in? It probably looks pretty nice, would be my guess. Like, I don't think he wakes up and looked out his window and he's like, he's living in the wasteland. He's a fat cat in Oxford, Mississippi, making $10 million a year, and he will make more. He could be the third highest paid coach in America, right?
I'm sure.
I mean, that's what he should angle for. He should not leave. Florida's going to have to hire, I don't know, they're going to have to hire somebody that doesn't have it rolling quite to the level of a Lane Kiffin, is my view.
Oh, they're going to hire Alex Golish, who's going against Memphis this week.
That's right. That's right.
My buddy that's listening is pointing out, and I've continued to say the same thing. He's already mixing it up in Florida.
That's exactly right.
Recruits in Florida, tell them, well, I'm running this thing better than Napier was.
Or Sumrall.
I'll get you back up.
Yeah, one of those two.
Again, a goal is hotter right now than even
right.
Sumrall.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. He's the hottest coach in the country.
Plus, and you can sell that offense, fast-paced, everything else.
Yes.
You look at South Florida. He's already made noise in Florida. It makes too much sense.
No, it does. That's who you
can
hire. And he beat
you in
the
swamp.
And by the way, that's a good hire. That's not a bad hire.
No, I like the goal is hire.
But you're not getting Lane Kiffin in 2025 unless he just wants to do it. It would not be because it's a better job. It would not be because there's more resources. It would not be because there's more prestige, because it's easier to win a championship there. None of that.
I just think Lane can do everything you said right there at Ole Miss now. If there's another challenge for Lane, I don't think it's getting a better job in college football. It's going to the NFL,
that's
where
exactly
his dad
right.
was a freaking legend.
Where he already
and where he has failed.
Yep.
And so that's kind of what Lane's been on, is sort of the redeem tour.
Right.
And he's gotten it back to a point where he's considered now one of the best coaches in college football. Let's be real. He had to build himself back up to that.
Yep.
And the only thing that's left in terms of the rebranding and rebuild would be an NFL career. That's what I've said. He can win. He can win a national championship at Ole Miss. We have to say it now. That's where they're at. Look at what he's recruited.
Yes,
he can absolutely do it. Look at where he's been ranked. He went toe to toe with Georgia.
He's put dudes in the
so
NFL.
There is no better college football job. I'm sure you could put a couple out there, and Lane would tell you, yeah, that's prestigious.
Right.
But I'm just saying, if you can get it done from Ole Miss, bro,
that's right.
You're at the top
already.
And
he's going to get that at Ole Miss.
And you get the top money. You said he's going to make. He get third.
Yes.
Then he's good.
He's totally good.
The challenge would be, okay, am I going to go back to the NFL?
I agree with that.
Sort of, I was a mess in that, just like at one time I was a mess.
Yeah.
Folks laughed at me in college football.
Yeah.
I've rebuilt that. Now I go back to and coach men like my dad did for
years. And I'm going to have an opening here very soon because Brian Daboll just blew a, you know, he just allowed 33 fourth quarter points against the Denver Broncos.
Bro, I'm so glad you touched on that because that was the automatic get me fired game.
Oh, yeah.
I heard on the radio today, fire Joe Shane, not Brian Daboll. What are you talking about? Lost that game?
Fire both.
You have to fire both. They got the right guy in Jackson Dart. Now you got to go get somebody and put him around.
Go hire Lane Kiffin.
Again, I was a guy who had a high opinion of Brian Daboll. It's come all the way down, and yes. That was even more. That was a death knell yesterday.
It had
for
to
me.
Be. It absolutely
that
had
was
to
historic.
Be. Yes,
what
it
he
did.
Allowed them to do.
So fire Daboll. Hire if Jackson Dart is your guy, just hire Lane Kiffin. I mean, why not? I mean,
I don't know if he wants that now. I'm thinking that's kind of Lane because he's got so. You just said he's still young.
Yeah, he's a young guy,
and so you go after this national championship that it feels like it is within your. Reach at least these next few years, and you can save that NFL stuff for down the road. But yeah, he doesn't have to climb to a higher perch in college football to have a better position at a national championship.
100%.
That's why there's no need to leave for Florida.
There is no need, dude. Again, there was a time where it would be a no brainer in 2008 for the Ole Miss coach to leave for Florida. You know, back before everything. We're in a different world now, man. We're in a different world now where when you can get a place going and all it takes to keep it going is just more investment from these boosters who get a taste of like real success, these fans get a taste of real success, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's absolutely zero reason to uproot yourself. And by the way, Florida has been abysmal. They haven't been this championship contender. They haven't been this behemoth that they think they are. And I like Florida. I mean, I obviously, you know, I remember those Tim Tebow teams as well as anybody. Like, we all know what it has been before. But, like, I fail to see why at its zenith it's any different than Ole Miss at its zenith. Because it both takes financial investment both ways. Like, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I just want to be a Gator. They say, I want to go where I'm going to make the most money. That's the business. And Ole Miss has shown it can be that place. And so if I'm Lane, I take the call, I listen to it, I get the raise, but I'm staying my ass in Oxford. Why would I mean?
It would be crazy if he went to the Giants on the coaches. Man, I don't think he's ready for that yet, right? You got to go take a couple more cracks at this since it feels like you're so close.
I mean, if it comes
open, timing wise, and the fact that it's Jackson, I get it.
I think he has to take it. If it may not be his ambition, I don't know if it's his ambition to go back to the NFL. But if it is, he's gonna have to go.
Can he get it up to like a Ben Johnson level where they're giving him 13 to go? You know what I mean? Or is he just gonna take 10 and go because he's itching that much? I just think he's so close right now. He's so close right now. And in staying close, can you keep yourself, it really elevates you in terms of your stock for the NFL so that by the time you do go over, yeah, it's going to be 12. It's going to be $13 million, you know, as opposed to, didn't you say he's making eight?
He's making nine.
Nine, right now.
Coordinators are the highest paid coordinators in the SEC. Like,
see, I'd keep doing that while I'm this close to a national championship for a little bit, especially with his age, how young he is.
Yeah. So either way, I think Lane should 100% stay where he's at. Keep it rolling at Ole Miss. It's fun. They love it. You go 7-5, people will give you the benefit of the doubt. You go 7-5 at Florida, and look, being paid not to work is a great thing. But I think Lane wants to work. I think Lane wants to break through to the playoff. I think he wants to do that. So I think he should stay at Ole Miss. I think he will stay at Ole Miss. It's the right thing to do for your career. It's the best thing to do for your quality of life, bruh. Like, I want to be happy. I want to walk around and feel like, you know, if I don't win 10 games this year, everybody here is going to want me to run out of town with my head on a platter. You know? Like, I don't want to be the guy responsible for – I'm not even sure Florida is what you guys think it is. I don't want to be the guy responsible for having to restore it to some level of greatness that it may not be capable of getting back to. I don't want to do that. I already got my program right now at new heights. And it'll stay that way. So – I got Trinidad Chambliss.
Mm-hmm.
You know? the Space Jam water kind of ran dry on him in the fourth quarter against Georgia, but that'll happen on the road. That's fine. Valiant effort.
It was.
Valiant effort by Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Can't believe they didn't cover. Pretty nuts. I had Georgia minus seven.
Florida decided to fire their coach. Florida State says it's going to wait till the end of the season to decide to do what to do with Mike Norvell, who lost to Stanford 20-13. That marks Florida State. I have a hard time even still believing this after they beat Alabama to open the season, but it's now nine straight ACC losses for them.
That's insane.
Much more costly, it appears, for Florida State to fire Mike Norvell than it was for Florida to fire Napier, and you'd expect as much with what Norvell has done there, that 12-0 season, but $54 million is what it's going to be, and that puts it higher than what Franklin's would be, which we said was second largest ever behind just Jimbo. So if our numbers are correct and I'm doing the math right, Mike, if they decide to go this way, and they said they'll wait to the end of the season, but this is getting really embarrassing for them, it's going to be the second largest buyout, you know, pushing even James Franklin down. So, I feel for Mike Norvell, you know, we liked him as Memphis coach.
Yep.
But this has gotten, it's again, the same thing. We can like somebody personally, whatever, like the job they did here, everything else. But you got to get to a point where there's got to be a line and you're not just, you know, coming up short. You're losing in embarrassing fashion now. Nine straight ACC losses. Right. You talk about a program that's come, you know, what they thought they were, what they think they are.
Yep.
Going from 12-0 just a couple of years ago to now you can't win in the ACC. Nine straight losses, losing to Stanford. They're a joke, huh? And so writing seems on the wall.
Yep.
They're going to have to pay it.
They are going to have to pay it.
All told, it's going to be, including staff salaries and Mike, it would be about $72
million. My Lord.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Now, again, we've said in this day of age in college athletics, maybe you don't do these types of deals anymore because you got to be, you know, the NIL, the, you know, all the revenue share and everything else, so much going to student athletes. But I don't know, maybe that's too much. I don't think they can go through another season looking like this and it not do you know, lifetime damage to the program. So
yeah, that's been a precipitous fall. I hate to see that for Norvell, but he'll get paid a lot of money not to coach. So all is not lost.
I thought they were so real after beating Alabama. One of the things, again, it feels like I've been most fooled about this year in college football. That team looked real, looked physical. Now I can't get a win in the ACC. Pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock, then Jeff Calkins at 1:25. We'll talk to him about all this and more. Stick around, J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.